Green Mountain Chronicles number 50, Railroads.
Betty, what's the train? Is it something I can ride? Does it carry lots of grown-up folks and little kids inside?
It's a pleasure for me to be here today representing Amtrak and to welcome you all to this re-inauguration here of the Montrealer. We think rail passenger service can fit into the transportation picture here in the United States so that it can grow.
1989, and the Amtrak Montrealer, Vermont's only remaining rail passenger service, returns after a two-year hiatus and near extinction. Rail service first came to Vermont in 1849 when the Rutland and Burlington Railway linked Boston to the Green Mountains. Soon, the Central Vermont began offering service to Montreal, beginning a 150-year rivalry for domination of rail service in Vermont. Other railroads followed, creating a rich store of legend and folklore while playing a major role in the communities they served.
Everything centered around the railroad.
Jim Brock of Montpelier grew up in Newbury on the Boston and Maine line.
Everyone sort of had a feeling of connection, if I may say it, with the trains, which you don't have today or any other means of transportation, because you knew that when the train came, the mail came, and all of the things associated with it. We had no communication other than a rather inadequate telephone system with the outside world. And the newspapers came and the mail came. Our groceries came to the stores that way that were not local. It was very, very much a part of the whole community.
But as the economics of the towns changed, so did the role of the railroad.
Greenboro Bend used to be quite a booming town. It used to load cows, horses, pigs, sheep, Christmas trees. We used to load pulp, and be in spring of the year there'd be, I don't know, 12-15 carload of lime come in. There used to be a creamery in Greenboro Bend. We used to pick milk up there in what they call a regular milk car. It'd be a big bulk tank, like in each end, one on each end of the car.
Wallace Allen of Hardwick worked on the St. J. and L.C. line for 30 years.
When I first went in train service, we used to come out of St. Johnsbury with, well, there's nothing to come out of there with anywhere from 35 to 50 cars, loads every day.
Passenger service was also affected by changing times.
Certainly, World War II seems to have continued many of the passenger services that were provided in the earlier years longer than they may have otherwise survived, simply because of the rationing of gasoline and the unavailability of new automobiles and the restrictions on new highway construction due to the war effort. But after the war, everything that I've seen and read really indicates a drastic turn from the public to private transportation.
Donald Valentine of Newbury is a longtime train buff and has written about New England's railroads. He also designs and imports scale model trains.
There's something in the American psyche that says that each individual wants to go where he wants to go, or she, when they want to do it, and not necessarily have to wait for public transportation.
Despite continuing financial difficulties, Vermont's railroads have had a significant impact on the state's economy and population, opening up wider markets for Vermont products, bringing new ethnic groups to the state, especially Irish who worked on the railroads, and Italians for the granite and marble industries, and attracting tourists with scenic excursion rides. There's also, as any railroad buff will tell you, something about a train.
The steel wheel on a steel rail. I must admit that if I had my druthers, we'd still have steam. There was something about a steam locomotive that did excite people. It was poetry in motion. It is still exhilarating for a lot of people to see a locomotive snaking a train in excess of a half a mile long up a mountain pass. I mean, that's something else. It really is.